Spirit of the Lord is showing great things. I call it the final room. He's leading us into the final room right now. I want to talk about it. It's always been there. So how do you find these things? Well, you're not going to find anything in the kingdom without His Word. His Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Amen. And His Word illuminates an invisible kingdom. It makes it visible to the eye of your faith. And then as you exercise, hold, and keep that word, cherish it, honor it, give attention to it, focus into it, meditate upon it day and night, what it does, the word begins to expand, the light begins to expand, and it lights up something that was invisible. Amen? And then you get to walk into that invisible, which has now been made visible. Amen? And then you walk into what was invisible, but now is invisible, but you have faith because the word has become the light, and you enter in through that word. You enter into the image that's forged by the word, and he opens a room. He opens an operation, and something you didn't access before now has become accessible. Something you didn't know was before. You cannot enter into something that you cannot see. Amen? You have to see it. Say, see it. You have to have it opened. And when it's open, then you enter in. Amen? You have to see it, but you see it by the word held in the heart. And then you move in. And then it opens, and then you encounter. Amen? And we'll say glory. And as you encounter, you're encountering the living God. It's then you go from glory to glory. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a room he's been introducing by his word. When God gets ready to do something, he'll introduce his word first. Amen? Then you move into it. He's already been introducing it, but now he's starting to show it. We're on the outer fringes of it now. But it's a very powerful fringe. Yesterday in the prayer time, there was something really amazing happened, just shifted us in a big way. And I saw a vision yesterday. I spoke a word, a prophetic word about the highways of Zion. And I saw a panoramic vision of our ministry, just in a glimpse, a moment, just panoramic understanding of the purpose of what we've been doing, especially the last 7 years when he introduced us into the right hand of God. But that map was a visual image of what he's been laying down for 7 years in Revelation. But I saw it in the vision as the highway of Zion. And Psalms 84 said, blessed is the man in whose heart are the highways of Zion. Say highways. You can't move anywhere without a highway, and you cannot move multitudes anywhere without a highway. I mean, we learned that when the hurricanes came through. You're trying to evacuate a city, and we had highways and just jammed them almost all the way to Dallas. I-45 was jammed. 290 was jammed, trying to evacuate out. Well, we're trying to evacuate in. Amen. God's going to usher a generation into his glory, but they have to have a highway. There's a lot of people trying to find it, but there's got to be a highway. Say highway. It's a highway of Zion. He says, these pass through the valley of weeping. The valley of Baca, that's the valley of weeping. They pass right through. They don't get stuck in the valley. A lot of people get stuck in the valley of weeping. They don't know how to get out. They're stuck in the miry clay. David said, you delivered me from the miry clay. He says, you pass through the valley of weeping. And you turn it into a wellspring of life. Instead of sorrow, there's life. Say life. It's a wellspring of life. There's no more sorrow. Amen. He gives you joy, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Say, put on the garment of praise, the oil of joy for the morning. He gives you the oil of joy for the morning. But there's a highway and you turn that thing around. But the only way you're going to turn the things of this world around is you got to go up. Amen. Because God turns it around. You're not going to get things turned around for you if you're dwelling here in the earth. You got to go up into the glory. Amen. We go up in. Say, we go up in. Go up in the highways of Zion. We're going higher and higher from glory to glory. He said these go from strength to strength. They go from glory to glory. Say strength to strength. Glory to glory. You got to be moving into God. He said, if any man turn aside, my soul will have no pleasure. If any man turn back, my soul will have no pleasure. It's not an easy road to go up. You have to have something to go up. Anybody can turn around. Anybody can go back through the valley. Even in the wilderness, they want to turn around and go back instead of press on. Say, let's go back to Egypt. He said, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them, the Bible says, will appear before God in Zion. The bride, I saw this bride walking down this highway, this big highway, and all of a sudden it broke up and it became millions of people. They were ushered into this highway, into the glory. She began to mount up on the wings of eagles, just mount up on that highway, up, 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 strength to strength. It wasn't one day you're here, one day you're down here. It was strength to strength to strength. She was growing in strength, growing in glory. There's a highway built. And the Spirit of the Lord said, the highway is almost complete. I'm like, almost? Is that an earthly almost or is that a heavenly almost? You know, God's almost, it's a little different than our almost. God's soon. John was saying Jesus is going to come back soon in Book of Revelation. That's 2,000 years. I said, I need to know what almost. He said, there is a room that remaineth. And he goes, this is the culmination of the entire map. I would call it the glory realm, wisdom's house, living waters, kingdom, all that lives in one place. Amen. And that's where he's moving us up into. And that's where we're going to be clothed in the inheritance. And that's where the anointing without measure dwells. And that's where the glory dwells. See, it's a highway. Just for a moment, actually, once you turn to Romans chapter 8, God created man in his image in the beginning. That image, God clothed man in himself. And when they lost that at the fall, what happened? A man immediately knew they were naked. As soon as sin entered the world, the glory departed. When the glory departed, the glory was man's covering in the beginning. And they tried, that first thing they tried to do, start hiding and clothing themselves. They felt their nakedness. They knew they were no longer covered. They knew they were no longer clothed from on high. And they started covering themselves. Fig leaves. And said, we were naked. And God said, who told you that? Said, you ate from that tree. Of course, Adam said, it wasn't me, it was her. Then she said, it wasn't me, it was him, the devil. Didn't matter whose fault it was, the glory was lost. Immediately God set in motion a plan to restore the glory. Say, restore the glory. If we read about that in Psalms 8 and Hebrews 2, he said he was made a little lower than the angels. God had to have another Adam, a final Adam, a last Adam, a second Adam. He had to bring him on the scene to restore. He's made a little lower than the angels. Then God raised him up, and the Bible said he crowned him, encompassed him with the glory, and he restored our glory. Amen? Now I want to take it from there. I want you to look at Romans 8 with that in mind. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know, say we know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to what? His purpose. Say his purpose. Now, God's got a purpose. Well, his ways are higher than our ways. Listen, God's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for the entire body of Christ. He sees you individually. He also sees you collectively in a purpose that he's going to fulfill in this hour, that's going to get fulfilled in this generation. There's a big, big collective purpose. God's working that purpose. We're all a part of that purpose. Amen. Then he goes on to say what that purpose is, what his, I would like to say, corporate or collective purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, there's a lot of strange things taught about these verses right here. We'll straighten it all out right now. Amen. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image. See, God made man in his image. Man lost the image of God. Man lost that image. God immediately set in a purpose of restoration to restore the image to man. He foreknew. Just so you know, God doesn't foreknow somebody and not you. God doesn't predestinate somebody and not you. He foreknew all the world because everybody, the whole world, the Bible says the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. He foreknew you. Say, he foreknew me. He predestinated the world to the image of Christ. He predestinated everybody. As soon as man fell, man in whom he foreknew, as soon as they fell, he predestined them to the image of Christ. Here's what it says. To him he foreknew, also he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is how he did it. Moreover, who he did predestinate, the whole world was predestinated. God didn't have these special people that get called out and saved, and the rest of the world, I think I don't feel like you should go to heaven. Everybody was predestinated. Whether they'd responded to God's plan is entirely up to them. He said, them also he called, whom he called, he justified. See, he called everybody to the cross. He justified everybody at the cross. Say, justified. Say, I have been justified freely by grace. I was predestinated to be conformed back to the image of his son. When he predestinated, he called me to his purpose, which was the cross. At the cross, he justified me. And in him, he justified. Say, to them, he justified. He glorified. Say, glorified. The final act of redemption is the glorification of our body, in which redemption is made complete. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body made fully in the image of God. Amen. That's going to happen very soon. We're going to get caught up with him. We're going to receive a glorified body. There'll never be struggle again. There'll never be pain again. You'll never have to contend, war, nothing. You'll never have to enter in. You'll just be dwelling all the time. Your body, spirit, and soul will be in perfect harmony with God. This is his ultimate purpose for man. It wasn't just to save you. He had to glorify man back. You know what it means to glorify? It means to restore your covering back completely, even in that body you're wearing. Amen. Now, we're not there yet, because once we're there, it's all over. There's nothing left to do. He's already done it. When he calls us up, it's over. But he's still working his plan. He's still working his plan to restore us to his image. And what God wants in this hour, and what he's always wanted in a generation, to be conformed to the image of his son while living here. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to light up and walk around glorified the rest of your life. You're still wearing a body. You're going to wear that body until Jesus returns. Like it, love it. Better do something with it. We're not talking about our bodies tonight. We're talking about our spirit, amen? Glory to God. Now, what God's looking for, see, here's the thing. For us to operate in the glory of God in this hour, All of this stuff's got to be yielded. Catherine Kuhlman used to always say, and I never really understand it till I kind of understand it now. She goes, God's looking for yielded vessels. You know how she'd get very dramatic. It's more than a surrender. Everyone say, I surrender. How many of God taught you surrender? Surrender is stage one. Then you got to learn to be clothed. You have to surrender first. That's when you stop doing what you're doing. That's when you realize, I can't do it. I surrender. We all get there pretty fast. Especially if you love God, you're going to get to that place of surrender pretty fast. How many of you love God? How many of you have been thoroughly exercised in surrender? Raise your hand. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Surrender. Always surrendering, surrendering, surrendering. Always dying, surrendering, all that. You can spend a whole lifetime doing that and not receive the fullness of His purpose. His purpose was, yes, to surrender, but now you got to learn to be clothed on from on high. Because to surrender is getting you positioned so He can clothe you in Himself. Now, this map up here is kind of a unique little map, because every time we hit one of these levels, God exercises us in His Word first. We move through His Word. Then we move into encounter with that Word. And then something drastically major happens corporately. We've done that with the rest. We've done it with union. We've done it with the love of the Father. I mean, the Lord did some amazing things even last year when we encountered into His love. Amen. Where He is. There's a difference between God loving you here and you going to where He is and Him loving you there. Amen? But there's this other realm that He's starting to talk to me about. But He's already been talking to us about. But He's starting to really show it now. There are rooms. I want you to go to John 14 now. These two revelations and John are going to converge. They're converging. Revelations is the flow. If you've been here, you know what I'm talking about. That's the flow of what God's about to do, at least the first six chapters. John is what we're doing with Him up. One's up, the other one's down. It's a highway. One's going up into Zion. One's coming back from Zion. Many, many, many people, multitudes are going to travel this highway in the last days. The bride, the bridal company, the global bridal company, all millions and millions of last day saints, the remnant saints are going to travel the highway up into Zion. They have to. They have to go up into Zion. They have to go from strength to strength. I said, Lord, what is it that you want us? I understand you keep calling us up to Him that thirst come to the waters. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Why is it that we have to go up? I mean, ultimately, I need to know why. Because you already send your Holy Ghost down. You send Him down to us. He's got power. He's got the government. The Father called Jesus up in Acts. We see it. He called Him up. And the Holy Spirit was given to the Lord in the right hand of God. And then the Lord sent the Holy Spirit with His inheritance. He said, this is what you're looking at. The Father gave me the inheritance and I sent the Holy Ghost down with it. So if the Holy Ghost is down here, why can't we just do it all here? What's about going all the way up in there? Why do we got to do that? What is the purpose? Well, there's many, many purposes. There is a real purpose. I'll say ultimate. That'd be a better word. There's an ultimate purpose of why we must go up. The highway of Zion. That is the highway of Zion. Zion's the right hand of God. That's where everything takes place. Why do we have to go up there? Why can't we just sit here and wait on the Holy Ghost? He moves. He does. I mean, what is all this about? What's the ultimate purpose? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. So I want you to go to John 14. But every time we go into this, every time I make another pass, another, I'm like, oh, I didn't see that. Not like that, I didn't. You know, you can see it, but not see it. You know what I mean? Especially John 14, 15, 16, 17. That has so many layers to it. I don't know if you could unveil that whole thing in a lifetime. Because the depth in those chapters, they are for the deep. Those chapters are deep. Call it the deep. They are for the hungry. They were given to the thirsty. They are given to those who cannot be satisfied, whose thirst cannot be satisfied or quenched. They are given to those who want to walk in the high calling of God. They are those that are pursuing the Lord's mantle himself. It's the only place he promises fully his mantle. He did say these signs will follow those who believe, but he actually promises his mantle in these chapters. Do you know when he put his mantle on the disciples? He sent them out two by two. They went out and raised the dead. When he put his mantle on them, he sent them out. You remember? They come back. It works. We raised the dead. Devils were subject to us. They went out and raised the dead. And then when he come down off the mountain, the transfiguration, those same disciples couldn't even get that devil out of that boy after they raised the dead. You can raise the dead in somebody else's mantle. But somebody else's mantle lives from you and you go back to your own. There have been ministers here in this church that would come in here and have an anointing on them and a glory on them. And I had to walk in, they'd hand it over. I'd walk right up into their mantle and it'd come over me and I'd just start doing what they did, just like they did it. Next service, I don't have the same thing on me. But boy, in that service I did. I could feel it. Ultimately, God has to get us all into the mantle that he has called us to operate. Fullness, a fullness of glory. There's a pathway to it. Did you know that? It's not just going to fall in your lap. There's a pathway. There's a highway to it. And there's a reason why you're going up into that highway. Amen? This is what I would highly encourage you to do. Don't get satisfied with any one of those levels. Enjoy them, but don't get satisfied. There's something else. Amen? There's a room opening right now. I knew it was there. I knew it was an operation. It took them a lot of convincing. Even more, God has to convince you, and then he has to get you to go after it. Write this down. You can never approach anything in the invisible kingdom of God unless you see it. Amen? You're not going to see it with your natural eye. You're not going to see it with your mind's eye. You're going to see it by the word of God that's been made rhema revelation. That word's going to become a light to your feet and a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It's going to open the invisible, and then you're going to walk into it. Amen? So we must have revelation. The Latter-day Church will have the seven eyes of revelation. They will have the seven eyes of omniscience. Amen? Seven spirits of God. Hallelujah. Just go look it up in Revelation 5 if you don't know what I just said. John 14, verse 2. It says, in my Father's house there are many, that word mansions, dwelling places, say dwellings. Menos, there's many dwellings. For not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place, one of these dwelling places for you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you and I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself that where I am. These are very powerful verses. There you may be also. We have to be there, and there's a purpose why he's calling you to where he is in that dwelling room. Amen? There is a dwelling room. All of that up there beyond that door is where he is. As soon as you go through the door, that's where he is too. But anything you approach in the door and beyond the door is where I am. Where he is, where you are. Amen? That is where I am. Where I am is not here, it's there. Amen? Now, I want you to draw down to verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, because Philip said, show us the Father. Very, I'm glad he sure asked that question, because I surely want to get in on what the Lord said to him. Jesus said unto Philip, have I been so long with time with you? I think the Father spoke to him right there, right through the Lord. He said, you have not known me, Philip. He that has seen the Father, he that has seen me has seen the Father. You've seen him. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? You've been looking at him. Now, he says something very remarkable here. He says, believest thou not that I am in, say in, I dwell in the Father, and the Father dwelleth in me. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. There's two things he says here in this verse. He said, these words that I'm speaking, I'm not speaking to myself. And these works that you're seeing, they're not originating with me. Even though I'm the Son of God, he could not manifest power as a Son of God. He had to do it the same way you do it. He had to exchange. We see this very clearly, and it's pretty interesting. Chuck and I were talking about this today. The Lord was commissioned directly by the Father. He was given the Holy Spirit under commission to release the New Testament. He was commissioned. He was an eyewitness of the Father. He had all of the ingredients, all apostolic ingredients, being the Son of God, everything. Yet he had to operate in a surrendered position. He said, I and myself can do nothing. And it wasn't the first time he said it. The Son of God said, what I'm doing, I am not doing in myself. I cannot. Because this is not going to just be me doing this. What I'm doing as an example because you're going to do it the same way I'm doing it. And because of that, I can't come here doing this as the Son of God in my deity because you will never obtain to it if I did. I have to do it as surrendered. And then I'm going to make you a joint heir with me and you're going to do it the same way that I do it. But you got to know how I did it so you can do it. The first thing he said, it's not me doing it. I'm not speaking. These are not my words. This doctrine's not mine. And these works do not originate with me. Even the Lord being anointed, ordained, and been given the power of the Holy Ghost still had to exchange to operate in the fullness. Where did he did that? He said, it's not I'm that doing this. Believest thou not? It's the Father. He say, the Father that's dwelling in me. Question number one. How did he get the Father to dwell in him here like that? When you can answer that question, you'll understand how you can get him to dwell with you here. Now, positionally, we've been given all that. Amen? Positionally, I am in you, you in me. You're in me, we're in the Father, I'm in you, Father and I are in you in the earth. He gives you that positionally, but how do you get that into manifestation? Where did he make that exchange? We know he did it in prayer. We saw this when we looked at the garden. When he went into the garden, he was one way. He was there in a man, struggling as a man. Why didn't the Holy Ghost just come upon him in the garden? Well, God will just do it. Well, why didn't he just do it? He was sitting in the garden. Why didn't God just do it right there? Why didn't the Holy Ghost come upon him? Why did he have to struggle like that? Why did he need people to stand with him in prayer? Holy Ghost did not depart from him. Holy Ghost didn't depart until he was on the cross. Had to. Still had the Holy Ghost with him. He just told his disciples in the upper room. He said something to them. He says, this night the shepherd's going to be struck. And all the sheep are going to scatter. And you're going to leave me alone. But he said something. Yet I am not alone. My Father is with me. Yet in the garden, he was very much alone. He just spoke those words. See, when you have a revelation, you know what's going to happen. You still got to go through it. And you saw him in his humanity, struggling. But he went in there. It took him 3 times that night. We've already preached into this. 3 times he had to go back over and over again as the Son of God. The 3rd time he came out with power. There was something happened and the Father was what? With him. When he come back to Peter and he was sweating great drops of blood, he said, Peter, can you not stand with me? The Father was with him, but he didn't feel it. He was feeling his humanity just like you feel yours. He had to exchange just like you have to exchange. Amen. Finally, he did it because when he come out clothed in power, you saw the glory and Judas shows up. And as soon as Judas speaks the word, the power of God hits him and knocks the whole company down. Father was with him then. He didn't go through the cross on his own. He did. Father was with him the whole time. He was with him. Say with him. There's a difference between saying positionally. Positionally, he said, I'm not alone. But then getting that position is another thing. Do you understand what I just said to you? I will never leave you or forsake you. How many of you have ever been in a situation and say, God, where are you? You said you'd never leave me or forsake me. Where? I'm not feeling the love. You haven't made the exchange.
Well, you don't want my feelings. You have to walk by faith.
Well, you don't have to walk by feelings.
You have to walk by faith.
No, you have to exchange. The Lord very much needed to know the Father was with him. He was looking for that. He was being tried and tempted in all points. He needed that exchange, and he got it the third time. He knew he had to go back. What I want to talk about is, where did he go? He went into the garden in his body, but where did he go? When you can answer that question, so the exchange is not just a what, it's a where. Amen? You have to know where he went. I know he was in the garden, but his spirit was with the Father. He had to get where the Father was. See, we are wanting God to come down to where we are, but the exchange, God ordained the exchange to take place where he is. Say, where he is. That's why he said, I'm going to prepare a dwelling room for you. It's the first thing he says. And then he talks about his mantle, the dynamics of his mantle. He said, it's not me, but it's the Father dwelling in me that's doing the works. Can you believe this? That's what he's saying. Can you believe that what you're looking at is the Father in me that's doing these things? Well, we studied his prayer life and we found that he was exchanging Mount of Transfiguration. He was exchanging it, but he brought his disciples up and they got to watch. They got to watch and exchange when the Holy Ghost overshadowed the Lord, and the Father stepped in and lit him up like a light bulb, lit his clothes up. The glory lit his clothes up. The glory of God, that was man's glory right there. That was original glory. Believest thou not? Then he says, believe me, verse 11, that I'm in the Father. You have to believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. We have to know where this takes place. Believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Because if you believe this, it's exactly what I'm about to do with you. Verily, 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 I say unto you. The works, he that believeth on me, just said, if you believe on this position, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you will do also. We're all trying to obtain his works still. We have gift realm, but we don't have the works of Jesus, not very many, not his kind. When he said his works, he's talking about raising the dead, paraplegics, blind, deaf, dumb, insane, all day long. Those works were coming from an exchange, a position of exchange. It's a room. Say room. It's a place. You can cry all day long, fast. I know I fasted a lot in the early days. I got position and fell out of position. And got repositioned and fell back out of the position. And I disciplined myself. I'm going to pray 8 hours a day, and I prayed 8 hours a day. I'm going to fast 21 days on, 21 days off. 21 days, did all that, got positioned and fell out of position. And repositioned and fell back out of position. You understand? Everybody ever been there? I need to be upheld! I'm tired of the charismatic roller coaster! Singing hallelujah, then tomorrow just all hell breaks loose. And you feel all hell breaking loose. Finally, we learn to be above the storm. Those who enter into the rest, you'll learn to live above the storm. Has to be there. If you don't, the storm's just going to eat your lunch every day, and you're not going to be able to go any higher because you're always going to be all messed up. The storm will constantly, constantly keep you in a state of disarray until you learn to get above it. To get above it, you have to move into his rest. You have to be able to learn how to surrender all that exchange. Say exchange. But there's another order of exchange, a higher order. Those are just exchanging the trial, your present trials. What I'm talking about is exchanging who you are for who he is. Did you hear what I just said? The rest, you'll exchange your trials, your heaviness, your burdens of this life, and he'll give you rest. It is an exchange, but there's a higher order of exchange in the glory where you exchange who you are for who he is. Galatians said it like this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live is by his faith, because he's living in me now. Somehow, he exchanged who he was to a crucifixion and a resurrection. He came back out. It was Christ. Those who walk in the true glory, Catherine Kuhlman knew how to do it. She knew how to make that exchange. She come out there and she had the glory on her. She could walk through the kitchen in the hotel. She'd walk through the kitchen and all the people would start falling out. The glory was manifested upon her, see. She learned, she said, 1,000 deaths I've died for you, Jesus. If you get the dying philosophy down, that's only half the program. You can get in works with your own dying, so watch out with that. We've discovered another way to die. I can identify in the Lord's death. I don't even have to do it myself. I can just jump into his. His is more powerful than mine. I can enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. I can put my life in union with him to be buried in baptism and raised in glory. I don't know if I believe that. I'm glad you said that. Go to Colossians 2. We're looking for the glory. You get beat up unless you learn to walk where she walked with it. Amen? Everything with her was effortless because she understood how to exchange herself for him. And when she come back with the Holy Ghost and the glory. And everybody was saying, oh, come Holy Spirit, like that. That's not how to pray. Oh, Lord, get me in there where she was at. How did she exchange? Where did she exchange? That's my prayer now, God. Father, teach me how to exchange. Show me where to exchange. I want to know. I want to know. There is a place, I'm hitting the outer fringes of it, because the room is just now, the invisible room is now becoming visible. And it happened by something that happened to me, as I don't know what happened other than I can explain it to you. He took all the teachings we were taught on the right hand of God and he ran them through me in like, it seemed to me like 30 seconds. It's like a tornado of revelation, but I could comprehend, I don't know how to explain it. It opened something. And I could see, there's the place. I can't sit there and identify it in the earth like it's here, but I can see it when I go to him. I know where that room's at. And I'm learning how to go in there. And our faith now is to access, to exchange, say exchange. To go in with you and come out with him. To go in with you and come out in the glory. When the Lord come down off the mountain of transfiguration, he was not glowing, but he was in him. The glow lifted on the mountain. I believe God was letting us see what was happening in the spirit. He exchanged with his father. When he come back, the power was there. Every time you read about him, went up in the mountain, prayed. He was in a mountain praying, but he was with his father exchanging. He come down and the glory is on him. He said to come down and says, if many just touched him or healed. Peter learned to do this. Peter learned to exchange. He learned. He said, silver and gold I have I none, but what I have I give. That's in chapter 3 and chapter 5. The glory's visibly manifesting on him. Walking down the street. He learned where to do this. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, this generation must learn to exchange if they want to see, and they must see my glory in this last hour. You have the capacity. It's all up to you, not up to God. God's going to give you the pathway. He's going to give you the information. He's given you the revelation, but you've got to employ your faith. Amen. What's going to happen with this move of God, my friends? Listen to me very carefully.
It's not going to be a move of God of this super spectacular personality being raised up over here, this super spectacular gift being raised up. It's going to be the body of Christ coming into our inheritance, the bride. Ordinary people, not even pulpit people, coming into the glory of God, coming out, manifested glory on them. They will speak, and the systems of this world will bow down. I realized why the Lord took us back into Revelation, now is taking us back here. He says, look, I was ordained by the Father. I was commissioned directly by the Father with the Holy Ghost. I was given the eyewitness of the Father. He goes, the latter-day bridal company will be given eyewitness. They will be commissioned. That white horse will be commissioned, but the bride that rides that horse will still have to exchange the same way I did. It's not a free ride. A lot of people touch the glory. Listen to me, I'm telling you some things. A lot of people touched the glory carelessly and lost it. They didn't know how to sustain it. You don't live up in the glory and leave it. You dwell there. Amen? That's the cost. The cost is to dwell there. To be upheld. God will uphold you if you'll dwell. Amen? Thus you have to be trained to walk in these places. It's called being a disciplined follower. I'm not talking about disciplining your flesh here in the earth. I'm talking about being disciplined in the principles and the operations of the right hand of God. You would not be here. It doesn't matter right now about multitudes. God said, I'm not sending multitudes up that highway until it's complete. And until you and those with you learn how to access that room, I'm not opening it to the nations. I'm not going to open a pathway for them to run into a dead end up there. Oh, we got this far, but we don't know how to get any further. The map stops right here. Could you imagine traveling 15 years up a map way, 5 years, and then it just stops? Well, we didn't know where to go from there, you know. Columbus didn't give us the rest of the way here. Stopped us right in the middle of the Pacific here. We don't know which way to go. God gives a map! His word is the map. Holy Ghost is the one that's going to teach you the mysteries of that map. It's kind of like a treasure map. But you're going to need someone that's highly skilled in deciphering what that map, because it's made of code. It's spiritual code that has to be broken. But you don't have the capacity, but the Holy Ghost does. Verse 9, ready? Now these are operations. This is an operation of the Spirit I want to show you that's in this room, what you have to look forward to. We're plowing anyway, amen, of this glorious room of what I call exchange. He's already prepared the way with his word. Now we're moving towards it in faith, amen. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete. Say, you're complete. In him. In him. Which is the head of all principality. Look at the verse 11. In whom also you're say, in whom. In whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Do you know what he just said? Buried with him in baptism. Wherein also you're risen with him through what? The faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Now we know when we were born again, he circumcised the old man. Cut out the old man, raise the new. But that did not stop that operation just because we were born again. There's still an operation in him that circumcises the old man and raises the new one. Circumcision of those things that are hindering you. There's a place in him where you move into this room and he exchanges. He buries something and he awakens something. That's what he meant being crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. There's a room in which this transpires. And the devil would surely not like you to know that this is available. Because as long as he can keep us in us, we're not going to be in him. But there's somewhere he's taking us up into a place of exchange. Thank you. There is a place where we can exchange who we are for who you are. A place of union and a place of glory. The Lord says, my glory I give to you, that you may what? Be perfect. Say perfect in oneness. Say perfect in oneness. He describes the oneness two different ways. One in him, one here. I want you to go there and I'll close with this. I want you to see this because this is where the room is. This is where the room where he's going to exchange, surrender and exchange. We're going to be clothed in our image, not ours, his. Amen. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray for I these alone, but them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one. Now, he started that in John 14. You remember, he said, I'm in you, Father, and you're in me. Because if you believe on me, these same works you're going to do, then he talks about it. He talks about where that exchange is. He talks about it right here in these verses. How he did it, how you're going to do it. Notice what he says, that they all may be one, say one. And he describes the oneness he's talking about. He's not talking about unity in the earth here with you and your brethren. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this inheritance. Father, and here it is, they all may be one, and here he explains it. Father, you're in me, and I'm in ye, I'm in thee. See, he already described that in John 14, that they also may be what? One, where? In us, where we are. The union that we have, they're going to be called up into that oneness. Did you see that? They're going to be called up. The same thing he described. He said, these works I do is the Father dwelling in me. Now I'm calling you up to the same place of this exchange between my Father, where I'm dwelling in him, he's dwelling in me. Now you're coming into us. Do you see that? You're coming into us. And verse 22, and the glory, say the glory, which you gave me, Father, I've given them that they may be one, even as we're one. This glory, Father, I've given to them. This glory you gave me, I've now given it. You've been given access. It's an inheritance and it's a grace. You cannot work for this place. You're never going to be good enough to earn this exchange. Don't ever think, well, I get good enough here, God will call me up. Never! Can you be perfect enough here to exchange there? You don't even go there in your own strength. You go there in Christ. Amen. It's a grace and it's your inheritance. And you're only going to get there by faith in keeping these specific words, which now look at verse 23. First, it's there. Now here, I'm in them. I'm in them where they are. Thou is in me. Father, we're going to be where they are. They're going to be where we are. And then we're going to be where they are. Did you see that? They, the body, is going to be where we are in the right hand of God. We're going to exchange. And then we're going to come and be where they are. We're going to come and dwell and habitate. That right there is the Father Christ dwelling in us. That's where the works are born right there. That's where the glory is born right there. That's where it happens right there. And this, called it his glory, this place you've given us to exchange like this, this glory of oneness I've given to him. It's yours. Say it's mine. It's an inheritance. You cannot work for it. You cannot deserve it. It's already yours. You have to believe. The only way you're going to get to exchange is by faith. No other way. And by keeping these words, you're going to have to keep them until you get there. Now I'm about to close. He says, I in them, thou in me. Look at this, that they may be what? Perfect in one. Do you see that? First he says, they're going to be in us, but when the exchange is made, we're going to be in them. Thus the oneness will be made perfect or perfected. Did you see what he's saying? The oneness has to be perfected in this hour. It cannot be just positional. It has to be perfected. The bridal company will perfect the oneness in this last hour. God will, I'll say it like this, will perfect that oneness through the bridal company in this hour. We will be caught up. We will exchange. We will go and be one with them. They will come and be one with us. That is the anointing without measure. When oneness is perfected, the works will break out like living waters. The power will break out. Because it will not be us, it'll be the Father in Christ dwelling with us. We get them to come down like that, we gotta go up and exchange, because you don't exchange here, you exchange there. That's why he said, they're gonna be in us first. And that was his prayer. Father, I will, they be with me. It's his final will. Get it in your head, he wills it. Get it in your spirit, he wills it. Doesn't matter if you're not there. Doesn't matter if you don't know how to get there yet. Doesn't matter if you ever visit the room. He wills you be with him where he is to behold the oneness. Do you know what he's saying? Father, I will they be with me where I am to behold, experience the oneness. Transference. Transformation. Transfiguration. We all with open face. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, the oneness. Not just beholding it, experience it, are changed. That word change means transformed, transfigured into the same image. You obtain his image where he is. We go there, buried in baptism. We're raised up in glory. He clothes in our image. Say image. He clothes us in the glory. We come down. Now they're with us. Do you see that? That must take place. That is the glory realm. And that's where the inheritance is going to come on us. And that's when you walk up and all of a sudden you'll speak a word. Because it won't be you doing. You'll wave a hand. And thousands will... Because the glory of the Father, the glory of the Lord is on you. You see it? The exchange has been made. We must exchange. Every one of you in this place have that capacity. There's not one in this place that does not have the capacity to exchange. Not just for power. This time he's also given kingly anointings. You can go up there and exchange your poverty and come back clothed in royalty. That's what he's offering. And this room is being opened now. These very chapters open this room. When you hold those words every day going in, and the word of patience, being steady, plowing through. A farmer knows I'm going to plow that ground. I focus and I plow through. Here's the key. I'm going to give you a key and I'm going to close. You want a key? So you're in wherever you are, wherever you go. Everyone has their place they like to go. How many of you got a place that you like to go in God? When you get to that place, enjoy it, but don't camp there. Because what you're used to doing is going to your go-to place and camping. That's what the Lord had to do, is get me out of my go-to. My go-to place was pretty awesome. And he says, now I want you to come out of your go-to place. I said, but I'm liking it right here. He goes, yeah, but we're going to go somewhere else. And reach your faith and start reaching your faith for the next round. Come out of your go-to place when you get there and start reaching into the next realm. Reaching into the room of transformation, the room of exchange. Reaching in by faith. See yourself walking into that room of exchange. Seeing yourself buried in baptism. You're not doing this one. He's going to do it. You just got to get there where he is. And he's going to execute it. He's going to circumcise you with a circumcision not made of hands. He's going to cut away the problems. He's going to cut away. He's going to cut away. All of a sudden, you started listening to me again. I was going to close like 10 minutes ago, and you started listening to me. He's going to cut away the ceiling that's posed on you by the flesh. He's going to cut that away, and then he's going to clothe you in his image that he restored for you as joint heirship. He's going to clothe you in joint heirship, and then you're going to come back. And it says, now, Father, they're in us, but now we're going back into them. He said, if a man will keep my words, my Father will love him, and then
my Father and I will come and make our habitation with them in the earth. And then they will see what they've been asking for. It's that exchange. We must go to exchange. Amen. So, Father, thank you for these words. Seal these words. Don't let them be snatched. What you hold in your spirit, the Spirit of the Lord says, is more valuable than anything else. Hold the words of dwelling. Hold the words to the final room. Press on, says the Spirit of the Lord. Press higher, press deeper, press on, says the Spirit of the Lord. Finish the pathway. Finish the map. That I might bring multitudes up through the highway. I see people going up and down the highway. I see some of us helping them up the highway at all different levels. At salvation level, at sozo level, all the way up in these higher levels. We're helping them up into the pathway where they can exchange for the glory of God. The bride must exchange. It's the only way she'll be without spot and wrinkle in this last hour. She won't find that here in the earth. She will have to exchange in Zion. We go from strength to strength. Stand up. We go from strength to strength. We appear before God in Zion. We go from strength to strength. Set the highways of Zion in us. Set the highway in us. He's telling me to tell you, your compass is the most valuable thing you presently possess in the earth. There's no greater possession than the compass that's inside you. Your spiritual compass, that which is in you right now, which has been kept, guarded, cultivated, that compass is more valuable than anything. It's going to deliver you to your desired end. Which is in me, says the Spirit of the Lord. Guard the compass, feed the compass. Hone it in, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hone it in and you'll be delivered into my fullness. I heard it come out of your heart. I can't do this. You're there, but I'm here. That's for you, but I'm not there. The Spirit of the Lord said it is for you. It's available for you. My words are available. What the Spirit of the Lord says, if you will agree with my words and not disagree, if you will agree with what I said, I can move you much quicker. Agree that it's your inheritance. Agree that it's accessible. Agree that you can be with me where I am. Agree that you can ascend the hill of the Lord. Agree that you can make it all the way and appear before God in Zion. Agree. And the room of exchange is yours, says the Spirit of the Lord. Father, grant grace, favor, protection. Grant a shield. Grant help from Zion. Grant grace from Zion. Grant strength to climb the mountain of God. The Lord said, I don't want one Moses. I don't want one Joseph. I don't want one Paul. I don't want one Catherine Kuhlman. I want a generation. My Father promised me a generation, the Lord says. A bride. I want a bride. I want a bride. Not one. I want my bride. It is my bride that will do this, says the Spirit of the Lord. Receive faith. Receive favor. Receive the word of the living God. Receive revelation. Let the Spirit of revelation be upon you. Let the Spirit of wisdom be upon you. Let the Spirit of revelation open the eyes of your understanding. Let dunamis creative power be with you, causing the indwelling of Christ to cause you to rise into the mountain of God. You are mountain dwellers. I said it so, says the Spirit of the Lord. I call you to be on my mountain. I set you apart for it. You will never be accepted in the ways of the world. You will not fly with multitudes. You will fly with eagles. You will fly in the high places. I will stretch your wings, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Receive the anointing to stretch the wings right now in this house. Stretch forth the wings. Stretch forth the faith. Stretch forth the hope. Stretch, says the Spirit of the Lord. Stretch into these places. Ascend into the hill of the Lord. Upon the wings of a great eagle, rise into me, says the Spirit of the Lord. Rise into me. Dwell with me. I want to say it to you. Well done. I want you to sit with me for all eternity. I want you to sit with the overcomers. I want you to sit with the great ones, says the Spirit of the Lord. Find the greatness in me. Find the exchange that I may live through thee. Do not follow the ways of man. Follow me into glory.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.